This is Stateside from Michigan Radio. I'm Cynthia Canty. Wayne County officials say they soon hope to close a deal with a developer to buy a former car plant, the Packard plant, a crumbling 35-acre site on Detroit's east side. It's become an iconic image that to many represents industrial decay and the decline of once proud Detroit. The Detroit News and Detroit Free Press both report the deal between the county and Evanston, Illinois-based developer Bill Hultz is tentatively set to close next week. Hultz wants to convert the 110-year-old facility into a commercial, housing, and entertainment complex. Many hurdles remain for Hultz, who hasn't disclosed his partners, nor has he completed a project of this size. Hultz plans to buy the plant for its $1 million in unpaid taxes. If the deal fails, the complex would be put into a public auction in September and sold off in parcels. So let's talk about what the future might hold for the Packard plant, because lessons learned with this 35-acre site could be applied to decaying urban buildings around Michigan and indeed the Midwest. For this conversation, we first welcome Anya Sirota, who's an assistant professor of architecture at the University of Michigan. She joins us in the studio. Welcome.
Good to be here.
Joins us in the studio. Thank you. And from Wayne State University, we welcome Robin Boyle, professor and chair of the Department of Urban Studies and Planning. Hello, Robin.
Hi there. Good to talk with you again.
Very good to have you with us on the program. Anya, let me start with you. What do you see as the historic and architectural significance of the Packard plant?
Well, the Packard plant is an extraordinary building. I'm not sure that it's unique architecturally or historically. It's an Albert Kahn building, but there were lots of Albert Kahn buildings being built at that time in Detroit and in this region. It's very large. It's reinforced concrete, the first reinforced concrete in Detroit, industrial complex. But again, there were lots of reinforced concrete buildings that were coming up in this region at about the same time. I think what makes this building, this complex, and this site so unique is the amount of time that it's been in neglect, the amount of time it's been in disuse. And so the kind of iconographic image that it's produced since it's been out of use for over 50 years, it's gotten a lot of people's imaginations going when it comes to its image.
And Robin, as Anya pointed out, this Packard plant hasn't produced a vehicle since the mid-1950s, and there were a few tenants. They've bailed out by the end of the 1990s. So from your thoughts, is this a structure, first, that should be saved, and secondly, can be saved?
No and no. I think another element of this discussion should be the fact that it has been a building that has been in and out of foreclosure. In other words, it's a building that has been part and parcel of the public domain to some extent for over 20 years. And irrespective of what happens through the market or those who have held businesses there, the public sector has failed, in my opinion, to deal with what has become a dreadful, iconic image of a failed place. And on my opinion, this building is well beyond any form of savior and should, in fact, be demolished.
Anya, you've actually led a course for Master of Science in Conservation students, and you focused on the creative reuse and restoration of the Packard plant.
I appreciate what Robin is saying about how difficult or maybe impossible it would be to preserve a building in this state of decay. But I think that it's important to reconsider the possibility of saving it, not in terms of preservation, but maybe in terms of conservation.
And now, tell me the difference.
So if preservation is bringing the building back to its earlier esteem or to an idealized moment in history, I agree with Robin. That's not very plausible.
That time has passed.
That time has passed. It's in really bad shape. Certainly, and it's highly deconstructed, mm-hmm. and it's been highly neglected. Now, if we consider it as a conservation project, that means rethinking about its healthy longevity through alternate uses, maybe through the reuse of this site as a landscape, maybe through a fragmented reconstruction of a portion of the building. But we need to be very creative before we decide to completely demolish and obliterate some of the history and iconicity of Detroit's feral brand.
I can understand the concept. And indeed, around the world, there are many wonderful examples of how facilities that were important in the past have been retained and illustrate to folks today how these places existed, whether it was steel, coal, textile, shipbuilding. I mean, these areas have been preserved and have been in part used today to illustrate what was once the important economic development engines of these regions and cities. I would argue, however, that this building is beyond anything like that. There are, and I think this again illustrates the failure of us to actually identify which buildings that make up this rich history of the automobile industry that we could collectively work together to show, to demonstrate, to illustrate. We have many properties that could do that. I think glamming onto the Packard plant is to take our eye, to take our focus away from what is really possible in some wonderful facilities that are well located, that could be visited by many people in a variety of different ways. On my opinion, this 3.5 million square feet of rotting building that is toxic in a whole variety of ways should be removed and should be the responsibility of all of us to clear it up. I mean, I do understand the value of the past in showing it. I just don't think this building should be part of that.
So the question for me is the narrative of this past. If we're indeed trying to show the glamour of Detroit's auto industry, maybe the Packard isn't the place for us to look. Maybe that's not the place for us to preserve. I certainly think that the Packard is an unsolicited monument to capital extraction. It's an unsolicited monument to some of Detroit's failures, if you will. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, if we start to look at, say, social media and the way the image of the Packard has been disseminated
around the world.
Around the world.
That term mm-hmm. ruin porn, which I know makes a lot of people's flesh crawl, but it certainly has become one of the key images of ruin porn.
But it's a very, very powerful image that's mm-hmm. understood nationally and internationally and has feral power. It has a kind of power of image making and dissemination. When you look at how many times those images are disseminated through social media, then the Packard plant starts to look just about as good as, say, Guggenheim's Bilbao. Mm-hmm. It gets just as many hits. So we need to be very sensitive about which buildings in Detroit are able to produce that kind of excitement and iconicity and think very carefully about how we're going to manage them before we obliterate the very image that gives Detroit its power.
I do think I hear you both saying kind of you have the same desire. Let's put our efforts into the structures that most warrant this. Can I throw a couple out for ideas? The Michigan Central Building, which when I think of ruined buildings in Detroit, comes to my mind. I've watched it from the time they closed it in 1988. Is that something, is that an example, Robin, of a building that you feel could be worth the effort?
I don't wish to disagree, but I'm of a very different opinion about these two particular buildings. I actually think these are part of our challenge, and it makes us even harder to get past the past. These two particular sites, in my opinion, need to be addressed by us, the collective, the public sector, and removed for a whole variety of reasons. I think they get in the way of this place moving forward, moving into a different world, and they represent something that we've struggled with for the best part of a generation.
Struggled with and failed to address.
Failed. These are iconic examples of failure. And I think we've plenty of really good places that can capture what this place has to show to demonstrate the importance of the automobile and other activities in the Midwest.
What might be some examples to give us an idea of what you're referring to, Robin? What might be some structures that you would feel would be worth preserving and saving?
Woodward Avenue, Highland Park, the home of the automobile, has got not only a plant that exists and is standing up, but the buildings, the offices, even the archives are right there on Woodward Avenue to be visited, to be shown, to be part and parcel of understanding the history of Detroit. Dodge Main disappeared. the Packard plant can disappear. The legacy of the automobile industry will continue. Let's make good choices and let's do it right.
I agree with Robin that it's not going to be possible to manage these sites at their scale and in their condition without interest from the public sector, without direct involvement from public-private partnerships and institutional interests. But at the same time, I don't agree with Robin about needing to mitigate an idealized historical moment that tells the perfected history of Detroit. I think that looking at the entire landscape of that city, at its failures, at its successes, and thinking about a coherent overall idea about how to produce a contemporary city is important as well. And there's nothing shameful about Detroit's failures, and that doesn't mean that those failures need to remain as insecure, blighted sites in the contemporary moment. They can be rethunk in a completely new, contemporary way, mixing new ideals.
If you just join us, that was Anya Sirota, who is an assistant professor of architecture at the University of Michigan. And she is joined from Detroit from Wayne State University by Robin Boyle, who's professor and chair of the Department of Urban Studies and Planning, as we talk about the Packard plant, because right now there is a possible deal with a developer to buy that crumbling 35-acre site on Detroit's east side. I was wondering, as this story is really making some major headlines today, what do you both think of this proposal from developer William Hultz of Evanston? He's talking about housing and restaurants and offices and shopping and a hotel. I guess if I ask, is this feasible, Robin, I think your answer would be you don't think so.
You're dead right on that one. There is nothing in what I've read that gives me any hope that this changes the dynamic of that piece of property. Not a thing.
It's an interesting proposal, and I'm just as dubious about the possibility of this coming to fruition as Robin. To rehab a building in this state of neglect in order for it to house such standard programs would be a huge commercial challenge. I think it would be much, much easier to produce a complex of this scale using new materials rather than attempting to reconstruct the remnants of what's on that site. But the idea that this particular developer is interested in gaining visibility and notoriety for his project by deploying the Packard as a site of his installation speaks to the power of some of these buildings in Detroit that still have this potential to garner so much visibility and excitement.
So with that kind of out of the way, the idea of housing and restaurants and offices and a hotel, let me start with you, Robin. What do you think should be done with that site?
I think it should be cleared, and I think it should be the responsibility of the government to do that, to take it under their wing and clear this particular site entirely. It doesn't need to be done in 1 year. It would take a while. But I think that this is an example. And, you know, we've been here for 20 years since it's been in and out of foreclosure with the government in Southeast Michigan. Time is now to clear this site and look for other options.
Such as?
And nothing. Seriously.
Seriously,
nothing. Nothing. It doesn't need this. We don't need it in that area. It might be connected to an industrial area over there if the market begins to turn around. But there are lots of other areas, lots of other great buildings that can be brought back to life, lots of other parts of the city that can be reflective of the past and looking to the future. The whole riverfront area, the whole the park structure that we have here already, the downtown, some of the great neighborhood buildings that we have, some of the schools which should remain and not be knocked down, that are a tremendous legacy of what Detroit was in the past. Let's get rid of the Packard plant now.
And Anya?
What's really ironic about the project of demolishing the Packard is that scrapping, which is what made the Packard come so undone in the last 20 to 30 years, is the same activity that has preserved the building, meaning that scrappers have taken the material that could have been recycled away from the building and made demolition much more expensive because the cost of demolition can't be offset through the recuperation of its metal. And so the only metal that's left on site is what's embedded in the concrete, and that can't be scrapped anymore. And so in this condition, the idea that it would be demolished, that someone would pick up the tab, whether it's $20 million or higher, that's kind of a pipe dream. So I think Detroit's responsibility now and our collective responsibility is to think about what to do with this site, given that demolition is improbable and that the reappropriation and the recuperation of this site for regular commercial use is also equally improbable. So I'm hoping that we're not going to wait another 50 years for this site to just continue to deconstruct itself, but we're going to be able to think of a way to secure it and render it a usable landscape.
In what way? Give me a sense of when you talk about a usable landscape, what would that look like?
I think that some of the projects that we've been looking at as a collective at the University of Michigan are projects that come from European community scenarios where there are equally large industrial complexes with very, very complicated histories and the impossibility of demolition. And looking at recuperating just a fragment of that site and securing the rest of it for a usable landscape. So admitting that we're not going to be able to reprogram 35 million square feet of property in the middle of this area. It's just not feasible. But maybe we could begin to insert small portions of public programming and cultural programming and then secure the rest of the site so it's not a frightening area for residents in that area.
It certainly strikes me that this building and the conversation that we've just enjoyed with both of you really sum up the kinds of challenges that lie ahead for your students, for tomorrow's architects and tomorrow's urban planners as they look at America's big cities. And it's complex and it's challenging. And as I say, it's really your students who are going to make the difference, isn't it?
Yeah, they've got a huge responsibility and a huge challenge, which is why I think that working in Detroit on questions of conservation rather than preservation, it's an exceptionally exciting field to be in.
Robin, last word for you.
Absolutely. I mean, I think these are the challenges that our students will face in the future. But I do think that they need to see it in a bigger picture. And as Anya said, programs around the world have demonstrated how government can take the role of changing the way and places that we live in. They need to be able to see that and not realize that it's just going to be sitting aside and watching what happens to space, buildings, and community. We need to be more proactive. We need to be engaged and addressing the challenges such as the Packard plant or other such places in the city of Detroit. This is a big challenge, but I think we can provide them with the tools, the understanding to make a difference.
That was Robin Boyle, professor and chair of the Department of Urban Studies and Planning at Wayne State University in Detroit. And he was joined by Anya Sirota, who was here in the studio, assistant professor of architecture at the University of Michigan. Thank you so much to both of you.
Thank you. Such a pleasure.
Thank you. Enjoyed it.